beyond career, beyond family, beyond studies and all that. Think about your life. Think about your eternity. Think about the fact that you are an undying soul. What do you need to prepare for? What is it that really matters ultimately in terms of the outcome of your life?
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you've joined us. And Colin, those are some pretty heavy questions you're throwing at us already.
Yeah, we're looking at something pretty serious. Think about this, Steve. Some neighbors of ours recently had to invest some money in jacking up the foundations of their house. There was subsidence underneath the house. Now, who in the world wants to spend money on something that's never actually seen? And yet, it was an absolutely essential investment that they made. I mean, painting the doors a nice colour on the inside ain't going to make a scrap of difference if you neglect the fact that there's subsidence underneath the house and the foundation is actually sliding down. Now, it's very easy for us to get all excited about attending to all the immediate things in terms of what we think and feel in regards to my life today. And what the Bible does for us is that it lifts our horizon and says there is something of ultimate importance that every person needs to consider. It's of the utmost seriousness. Nobody can neglect it. And here's what it is: the day of the Lord. And it's never more clearly portrayed than in the book of Joel. And that's what we're going to look at together today.
We're going to see that from Joel chapter 3. So if you can, join us there as we begin the message, The Decision That Really Matters. Here's Pastor Colin.
This is the last in our short series on the remarkable book of Joel. And in this last chapter, Joel in chapter 3, Joel paints, as it were, on an even broader canvas and speaks about the day of the Lord, or the day of judgment, you might say. He brings a global message, a message that every person needs to hear, in which God speaks about this day of ultimate importance in regards to all of our lives. Now, I'm very aware that as we come to church, for many of us, there's a sense of the thing we just did, and then there's the thing we're about to do, and life moves on with its relentless schedule. And it is really important from time to time to stop and to think, what really matters? I've noticed that people who succeed in various spheres do this really well. I was talking to someone very successful in business just this week who said to me, you know, a key thing for a business leader is in the middle of all the busyness to schedule some time and to ask the question, what do I most need to be doing in order for this to be moving forward? Busyness isn't leading. And it's the same in a family, in the relentlessness of schedules. Sometimes it's important to stop and say, what do we need to change in this family so that the family can thrive? Otherwise, we're just being driven by some kind of calendar that pushes us relentlessly forward. It's the same with students. The wise student is someone who looks at where she or he wants to be, looks at people who are doing what they want to do, and then asks the question, what skills do I need to learn? What do I need to become? What do I need to gain in order to do that really, really well? Now, take all of that and move it a level higher. And today we're asking the question, beyond career, beyond family, beyond studies and all that, think about your life. Think about your eternity. Think about the fact that you are an undying soul. What do you need to prepare for? What is it that really matters ultimately in terms of the outcome of your life? And right here in Joel in chapter 3, we have God himself speaking to us directly and saying, here is what you need to attend to. There's something here that is bigger than everything that is so pressing upon you right now, and it is the day of the Lord, because nothing will change your life more than the decision that God makes about you on the day of judgment. So that's what this last chapter of the book of Joel is about. Now, I've got three headings. The first is to see from this book why there will be a judgment, why there has to be a judgment, why the only hope of the world is that there will be a judgment. That's the first thing. Second, what will this judgment be like? It's almost unimaginable. But Joel paints a picture for us that is powerful and compelling. And then the third part will be this: where can you find refuge? We're looking at this awesome truth, and therefore we need to know how can we prepare for this, and how can we find refuge in the light of it. So I hope you have a Bible, and that you will have it open to see what God says. And we begin at the start of chapter 3, why there will be a judgment. Now notice here that God makes three direct personal statements. Number one, I will restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem. That word restore is really the key word, as we've seen, of the whole book. I will restore the years that the locusts have eaten, and now I will restore the fortunes of Judah and of Jerusalem. And then God goes on to speak of how he will do this. How will this restoration come about? Here's how it will happen. I will gather all nations. There's an extraordinary phrase. Think what that means. God says, I will gather all nations. France, Britain, the United States of America, the vast populations of India, China, Russia. God says, I will gather all nations. I will do it. This is the Creator speaking. Now, most of us have experienced being in a very large crowd. I know some of you were in a crowd of 1 million people in Washington a few years ago. Some of you may have been in a crowd of more than 1 million. But however large a crowd you may have been part of at a mega event, this is something altogether on a different scale. The gathering of all nations. Only God himself could orchestrate this. And if you ask me where or how exactly will God do this, I cannot tell you. Joel speaks in verse 2 here about the valley of Jehoshaphat. I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. There is not a place on the map that bears that name. And this is the only time in the Bible, this chapter is the only time in the Bible that the Valley of Jehoshaphat is referred to. And it may be that the significance is in the meaning of the name rather than in trying to identify a location. Jehoshaphat means God has judged. And so when God says, I will bring them down to the Valley of Jehoshaphat, he is saying, I will bring them to the place of judgment. And I will enter into judgment with them there. Now notice that as God makes this very clear statement, we're a church that wants to take the Bible seriously because we believe it is the Word of God. He goes on to say that the judgment of nations will have special reference to the way that the nations have treated God's people Israel. Verse 2, I will enter into judgment with them, that's the nations there, on behalf of my people and my heritage, Israel. Now, you don't need me to tell you that great evils were done against God's people, Israel, in the Old Testament times, and greater evils have been done against them in the history since the time of the Old Testament. All of these evils are known to God. None of them will ever be forgotten. And God states quite clearly here that every one of them will be brought to account. Particular charges are brought by God here, charges for which nations will come into judgment. Verse 3, they have cast lots for my people and have traded a boy for a prostitute and have sold a girl for wine. Now, we have a name for that today. We call that human trafficking. And that was happening in the time of the Old Testament. It was an obscenity that the nations indulged in, and it is an obscenity that the nations still indulge in our world today. And we see these things happening, and we say, well, now they were happening hundreds and hundreds of years ago, even in the Old Testament. The world does not seem to change. Will there ever come a time where there is justice in the world in regards to these awful atrocities? And the answer of the Bible is yes. God will bring justice. God will do it. He says, I will gather the nations and I will bring them into judgment, and I will do this in relation to the great evils that have taken place across human history. The New Testament says the same thing many times. Acts chapter 17 puts it this way, that God has set a day on which he will judge the world, and he will do it in righteousness. That is what God says he will do, and that is what God will do. On that day, I will gather all people, I will bring them down into the place of judgment. And what will be judged, of course, will not be limited to, it will include, but not be limited to, sins that are committed against Israel. It will include all sins, all evil. And if you look at verse 13, the necessity of a judgment is made very clear, because God says their evil is great. And friends, human evil is great. And not one of the atrocities or one of the sins of human history is ever forgotten by God. See, we live in a culture where we have a window on the world that is selected for us by the media. And when an atrocity or a genocide or a mass murder or a shooting takes place, our minds are filled with it through that media, and it goes on for a few days until a decision is made that the next story is more important. And then the story that was the attention of the people moves away, and life moves on, and forgotten people are left with an extraordinary sense of injustice. And does anyone care? Does anyone know? And the answer is, God knows. I was just pondering when I was looking at verse 30, their evil is great. We have immediate atrocities that are in our minds right now. How much thought has been given around the world in the last week to the 500,000 people who were slaughtered in Rwanda between April and June, just 3 months in 1994, and nearly half of that 500,000 were young children. Caught the attention of the world, and then we moved on, but never forgotten by God. I will bring justice. I will bring judgment. I will enter into judgment with the nations. What about the 1.6 million killed in Cambodia between 1975 and 1978, the time of the Khmer Rouge, great attention of the world at that time when the atrocities were discovered? And then the world moves on. And God says, I will bring the nations to judgment. There will be justice. What about the 6 million Jewish men? And what is the number when the women and the children are added who were exterminated in the 1930s, the 1940s in Europe? Or the 20 million who were purged in Russia in the time of Stalin? And you have to more than double that number to get to the number of lives that have been taken by abortion in the United States since 1973, which now is over 56 million lives that were snuffed out by human choice. God has books, and God has a bottle. Bible tells us God has books in which he records all human evil. Nothing is ever hidden from him. Nothing is ever forgotten by him. And God has a bottle, Psalm 56 and verse 8, a beautiful image. The Bible speaks about God gathering human tears in his bottle. In other words, not only does God know from the books every act of evil, every atrocity, every sin, every act of violence that has ever taken place in the history of the world, but he knows every tear that has been shed as a result of human cruelty, in words and in actions and in violence. And not any of it is ever lost.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called The Decision That Really Matters, part of our series, Restored, How God Can Give Back What You've Lost. That's from our series on the study of the book of Joel. And if you've missed any of the broadcasts in the series, come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen if you have the Open the Bible app. That's free. You'll find it at your app store. Not only can you listen to this daily radio program, but our weekend broadcast, and check out the daily devotionals and a lot more. So again, you'll find the app for free at your app store, or come to our website, openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
God sees the evils of human history, and he never forgets. And on the day of the Lord, these books will be opened. That's how it's put in the book of Revelation in chapter 20. The books will be opened. And what has been done will be brought to account, and none of it will be forgotten. Every crime, every sin, every evil thought, every secret will be revealed, Jesus says. And the things that are hidden in darkness will be fully disclosed. This is the day that Joel is speaking about here. And it is a day that has to come, because their evil is great, verse 13. That's why the only way there can be a restoration in verse 1 is if there is a judgment. Because without a judgment, all that happens is that human history goes on in its cycles of violence, continuing from one generation to another, world without end. But God says, I'm going to step in. I'm going to bring all of that to judgment. I'm going to bring it to an end. Then there's going to be a new heaven and there's going to be a new earth. Then there will be a home of righteousness. The restoration is only possible because of and through the judgment. So that is why there is a judgment that is spoken of throughout Scripture, why there will be a judgment. I believe the Bible to be the Word of God. I believe that this will happen. And if you don't, I tremble for you, because God says in the Bible it will, and he could hardly have said it more clearly. So why there will be a judgment? That's the first thing. Here's the second. What the judgment will be like. What the judgment will be like. Now let's take it up in verse 9. Proclaim this among the nations. So what God says now, verse 9 and following, he says, this is to be proclaimed to every person across the globe. There is no person, no living person for whom this is not supremely relevant. Every person needs to hear what God says here. Proclaim this to the nations. Now, in the verses that follow, what happens is that Joel paints for us a picture of what otherwise would be quite unimaginable. How can we even begin to think of what this day will be like? And in the same way, it's very, very hard for us to imagine what heaven will be like. And so in the book of Revelation and in other places, we are given wonderful images that help us to begin to think about the things that are beyond the capacity of our mind that God has in store for those who love him. In the same way, here Joel paints for us a picture to help us taste, see, feel the reality of this day of the Lord that he's proclaiming to us. Now, I know that some of you take notes. I appreciate that. I'm going to make a suggestion. If you are at all gifted artistically, if you can draw, I'm going to suggest that instead of writing notes, that you sketch a little drawing. And I will not be doing that. I once got 17% for art at high school. Hopeless. I cannot do that thing. But some of you are gifted in that way. And Joel is painting a picture. Now, if you're like me in your artistic ability, you can just write notes. Or even better, what you can do is you can try and compose this picture in your mind. I want you to see it. I want you to imagine it. I want you to see what he is painting for us. Now, I'll give you the elements that need to go into the picture, and there are three of them. You need to know them so you can do this. Here is the first. A vast crowd gathered. Verse 14. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. So in your picture, or as you're composing it in your imagination, I mean, you see this valley, and there is a vast crowd, multitudes, multitudes, more people than anyone could number. As you look into the distance, you can no longer make out faces. It's just hundreds and thousands and millions and vast, vast, innumerable crowd. Second element in the picture, they are armed for a fight. Verse 10, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. So at least some of the folks at the front of the crowd, you're going to want to draw them with sword that was handcrafted out of a plowshare, metal beaten in the fire to make an implement of war, or a spear that was made out of a pruning hook, again straightened out, the pruning hook straightened out to be like a spear, straightened out in the fire. These folks who are coming and they're armed, and there's a vast, vast number of them, the nations. Isn't this an extraordinary picture? The nations of the world gathered against God, and no weapon in the history of mankind, be it nuclear or otherwise, could ever make the smallest dent on the throne of God. But here are the nations coming for a fight against God, and they're armed. We got swords. We got spears. We're going to get you. It's ludicrous, isn't it? It's the most extraordinary picture.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, and part of a message called The Decision That Really Matters, looking today at why there will be judgment and what that judgment will be like. I hope you'll join us for our next broadcast as we'll look at where we can find refuge and answer the question, how can the Lord be a refuge to his own judgment? Our message is part of a series from the book of Joel called Restored, How God Can Give Back What You've Lost. And if you'd like a copy of the entire series on CD, ask about Restored when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or come to our website, openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. We're able to be on this station because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by offering you the Heaven Bundle. It includes a book called Heaven by Randy Alcorn, Pastor Cullen's book, Heaven How I Got Here, The Story of the Thief on the Cross, and five copies of a booklet called How Can I Be Sure About Heaven? But Colin, how do you think listeners will benefit from your book on the thief on the cross?
Well, I'm laughing because I think that my book on the thief on the cross is going to look very small beside Randy Alcorn's 500-page book on heaven, which is an absolute classic. But, you know, books can be used in different ways.
Yeah.
And so Randy Alcorn's is a book that you'll want to have in your home and you'll go back to many, many times. You'll look up the questions that he addresses. There's over 40 of them in relation to heaven, and that's really helpful. Heaven How I Got Here, you'll use in an entirely different way. It's a small book, very easy to read, and it tells the story of the thief on the cross in the first person. And the mission of the book, the reason for writing it, is that this story really explains grace better than any story that I know or could think of. Many people have the idea that if you're going to get into heaven, you'll do that by living a good enough life. And obviously the thief on the cross didn't do that, and he did get into heaven, and he got there by God's grace. So for anyone who needs to grasp what the grace of God is, this is a very simple story that explains that. And so this is a book that you can read and enjoy, and I hope a book that you'll think about passing on to a friend who needs to discover God's grace.
Well, Heaven How I Got Here, The Story of the Thief on the Cross, is part of our Heaven Bundle. It also includes Randy Alcorn's book on heaven and five copies of the booklet, How Can I Be Sure About Heaven? Our thank you gift to you as you financially support Open the Bible this month. You can find out more, give online at openthebible.org or call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or again, the website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. What will final judgment be like? The Old Testament prophet Joel paints a vivid picture for us. That's next time on Open the Bible.